This episode of Extra Features is sponsored by Starship Films. Some great titles such as Lars and the Emo Kid, Conjoined and the Dead of Night can all be found on Amazon Prime. Enjoy the show!
In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
And I am the intern.
Kevin, I have a confession to make.
What's your confession?
Are we up to 187 already? Does that mean there's only 13 movies? 13 casts to go until we get to 200?
Yes, Bob, there's 13 until we get to 200.
Yeah, that's what adding 13 to 187 will get you.
We're supposed to do Justice League this episode, and I dropped the ball. I didn't screw up.
Everybody's ready.
Simon dropped the ball is right.
I didn't have time to see it. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to all our listeners. I didn't have time.
All one of them?
Yeah, you want? Hey, we even have an email to read this episode, too. I forgot.
Ooh, an email.
Why didn't you read the email?
I'm going to pull it up. Why? You can hear Bob. He's telling me he's going to buy All the Time a Pair of Movies for $5 to torture me.
Yep.
Great.
Great.
Okay, here we go.
Awesome.
I found the thing. It was a Facebook message to me. Does that count?
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, Simon. Good seeing you Saturday night. I'm on the tail of your best of 2016 review. While I don't see eye to eye with you on Moonlight, I do agree with you on Sing Street. I actually watched this by accident, thinking it was An Ordinary World with Billy Joe Armstrong. What's An Ordinary World with Billy Joe Armstrong? Any idea?
I don't know.
Okay. I was taken back to my days in the 80s with this one. If I sort of a Better Off Dead feel for me. I love them making their music videos. I enjoy the length of your podcast, but must admit that I prefer fewer critics that allow a bit more commentary on their reviews. For me, the reviews are too few. I like to hear more about a movie than overall crap or really good. Fine overall, but I will continue. I'm curious to watch the movie about people turning into animals, even if you don't find a mate. And the one with Sam Neill and the sausages. Well, he's listening to an end-of-the-year show. We don't do reviews on that show. I just make fun of Bob and yours less. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, you need to actually listen to a real episode, not the end-of-the-year episodes, because that's all we do is make fun of each other.
And every other episode.
Oh, of course. Because I saw a movie called Colossal, and I wanted to make fun of it, but I couldn't because I liked it.
You liked it.
I did.
You liked the movie Colossal with Jason Sudeikis and Catwoman?
I did.
Annapolis?
I did. Why did you? You didn't like the film? I thought it was a very good on the, what's the word I want? The Kaiju Monsters? I thought it was a really nice take.
It was different. Like, ultimately, I was not enthralled by it. And I thought that I thought it was an interesting kind of romantic comedy type of film, and then it turned into sort of a angry, abusive boyfriend, childhood friend kind of situation, and I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't like that.
I had a little bit of problems with the end. I'll agree with you there because I kind of couldn't see where it, but I liked it. At times, I quite enjoyed this film. I didn't like the tantrum scenes. I did have an issue when they were having their issues.
Yeah.
I thought the movie kind of fell apart there, but I thought it redeemed itself by the end when she goes to Korea. I think it's Korea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I thought it worked out well.
I'm going to say no because I didn't like the fact that I was meant to like Jason Sudeikis, and it turns out he was a jerk.
Yeah, but...
And he was murdered.
Yes.
By her.
He was.
As he was murdering people in Korea.
Right, but I thought it worked for me. I had no issues with the film. I thought it was a different take, something different.
Okay, I'll agree it was something different.
So it didn't work for you at all?
No, I thought it actually was working for me very well, and then it takes a very dark turn.
I didn't enjoy the turn. I kind of had to, though. I kind of felt they needed a bit more conflict to figure it out, though.
I thought it deserves the. I'm looking at IMDb. It's got a 6.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
I would say that's deserved. That's about right.
I agree with you. I gave it a 6 out of 10, I think, or maybe a 5.
Just a little bit better than average.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to make my top 10 year-end film, but I thought it was a strong
film. And it wouldn't make my top 10 worse either.
Yeah. I think it's a watchable film, though. I think Jason Sudeikis pulls off his usual Jason Sudeikis-like, and Anne Hathaway does the same thing with her.
I think if you got nothing else to watch and it's on, it's better than some other crap that we've reviewed. But
I
wouldn't go and seek it out.
I absolutely agree with you. So why did you watch this film, then? Because it's Anne Hathaway?
Because it had Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis, and monsters. You know, whatever they are, kaiju.
I thought it was kind of cool, though, that how the kaiju showed up. I thought that was an interesting premise.
It was, but it was completely unexplained, ever. There's no definition for why this happens. It just kind of shows up, and his giant robot just kind of turns up. But I don't know. What are you shaking your head about?
Bob's trying to read my top 10 list, so I took it away from him.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't see it until
so, I don't know. I mean, it's okay. If you're looking for something and you want to see something with giant monsters and robots, I guess it's okay. But it's not exactly riveting.
Okay. Well, you know what I thought was riveting, Kevin? Happy Death Day. This is what we needed.
Happy Death Day.
A horror story.
Day with murder?
Yeah, it is. It's Groundhog Day, and I would love to tell you who's in it.
It's
but
not really a horror, it's a thriller type movie.
She gets killed every day.
Yeah, in different ways.
So how is it not a horror movie?
I liked it so much I saw it twice.
Yeah, but how is it not a horror movie? See?
Jessica Rath was in it.
Horror mystery thriller.
Horror mystery thriller.
Starring Jessica Rath, Israel Broussard, and Rudy Medane. I know, and Charles Atkin, Laura Clifton, Jason Bale, and a bunch of other people I've never heard of.
Something is in there too.
So what did you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was like she dies every night and then comes back to life. But each time there's a little bit, they did a little bit tweaking every time, like, because they can't really say all it. But every other character, like the guy she wakes up in his room.
Every morning,
he says hi, and then he starts to realize something's wrong, because she's like, she's looking at him like, I know you're Carter, but every time it gets to the point where she says, okay, you don't believe me? Here, look at this. The guy falls down right here. The car alarm goes off here, and something else happens. But she finally figures out who's trying to kill her, and she says, okay, I'm gonna get the drop on you. It didn't happen. But that's not who the killer really was. That killed her.
Correct. I like the twist on the killer.
Yeah, so do
I. I mean, we're comparing this to Groundhog Day, obviously. I mean, it's not Groundhog Day.
No.
But Kevin, I think you'll like this film.
I think you would too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the lead works. Her name is Tree or something, yep. Which is bizarre.
It's short for Teresa.
Does it say that?
Somewhere it says that. I heard someone call her Teresa somewhere.
But I think you'll like this film. I mean, obviously, if you like Groundhog Day, this is a weaker version. It's a PG-13, so the blood's pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no boobs. And they have a couple of swear words. But it works for me. It really does. I think it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree, because I went back and I just was looking at the listing of the movies there, and I thought, I want to see this one again. So I did.
Okay.
It's still enjoyable the second time around. Like,
even knowing all the twists,
yeah,
it's enjoyable?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could sit through it a second time. I think Calvin would like this one.
I think he might. But
I do find it weird, though, that she gets up every day. Agreed?
Yeah.
That the guy that's sitting outside, even though she gets up earlier and later on, and just bolts, that guy's still in the same spot.
The Chinese? The Asian guy?
Yeah, he shouldn't be in the same spot. He should disappear from the film.
There was one time he didn't show up. He came in after or something.
Yes.
And then, but the Carter guy, every time he says, hi, you probably don't remember me. And then he wonders how she knew about the, because she had a really bad headache. and he has Tylenol or something. And she says, it's over there, underneath the clothes on your desk. And he goes, no. Okay.
I think it's a solid film, Jeff. I would recommend this to you.
All right. Well, I'll have to look for it when it comes out on Netflix or something like that.
It'll be on Netflix in, what, 2 weeks probably? Who knows?
Probably.
So,
all right, what's next on our list?
Lego Ninjago, buddy. Didn't you see this one?
Oh, I rushed out to see that one.
Come on, it had Jackie Chan, Dave Franco, Fred Armiston, Kamal Nanjiani, Michael Peña, Abby Jacobson.
There was only Jack Woods, characters in the whole thing, though.
And Justin Theroux and the great Ali Wong.
All the rest were voices.
No, I did not see it.
Human
character. One of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life.
Ali Wong?
Oh, awful.
Or Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan's okay. So, Bob, what did you think of Lego Ninjago?
I was coming in not expecting much, but I have to say I enjoyed it, but not as much as I thought it. I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but I got to enjoy it. I thought, this is pretty good. It's like any other Lego movie that we've seen.
I disagree.
But it has it has something different in it. I know you disagree. It has they're ninjas, or they're trying to be ninjas, and they're trying to put together.
Can you formulate a sentence? No. Should I help you out a bit?
Why don't you go,
Kevin?
I'll stop talking.
Hold on, wait a second. Is this movie about six young ninjas named Lloyd, Jay, Kai, Cole, Zane, and Naya?
Yes.
Who are tasked with defending the island home of Ninjago?
Yes.
And by night, they're gifted warriors using their skills and awesome fleet of vehicles to fight villains and monsters.
Correct.
But by day, they're just ordinary teens struggling against their greatest enemy,
yes,
high school.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds like that movie.
It's terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely terrible. Jackie Chan starts off the beginning and goes, oh, let me tell you a story. And tells us a story. Oh, my God, Kevin. It's like teenage angst and Lego.
You know why I thought it was the same thing as the other Lego movies? Because the main character, the main kid,
Lloyd.
Oh,
and they must say his name 400 times.
Yeah, his father,
yes,
is the villain, just, yes, like in the other Lego movies.
Oh my God!
Oh, Kevin, I'm sitting here. You got to hear this one. So they're fighting the ultimate bad guy, right? Lloyd's having issues and doesn't know who his father is. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Basically Darth Vader. So they basically ripped off Star Wars for this one.
Uh-huh.
And they have to get the ultimate weapon. Guess what the ultimate weapon is?
What?
A kitty cat.
Oh, really?
And they have a pen, and the kitty cat's going nuts, taking everybody out, and then the bad guy takes over the Lego world.
Wow.
Lord, whatever his name is. So it becomes a bonding movie. So then when he finds out Lloyd's his son and Lloyd finds out him, the movie kind of stops and goes on this pilgrimage so they can find each other.
Oh, no, they're not finding. At first, they don't think they're finding each other. They think they're finding each other's weapons that they can use to beat the kitty cat and the thing. But it turns out that the weapons are not the actual, like sword or whatever. It's them.
So, Kevin,
sorry.
They go to the master's plan and they hang out with him. It's like, it becomes a buddy movie. Oh, son, I'm sorry I didn't hang out with you. It's okay, Dad, we can hang out now. I almost threw up. This is terrible. This is the worst Lego movie I've ever seen.
So, Bob, did you like it?
He loved it.
Love is a strong word.
Why'd you give it a 10?
I didn't give it anything. Battlefield.
Right now.
7.5.
There you go. He gave it 7.5 out of 10.
Right.
I gave it a 3.
Of course you did.
Wow.
Kevin, man, this is like you. I want you to see this with your nephew and give me a better answer.
Okay.
It is absolutely terrible. It's not funny. I didn't laugh once. I thought I was watching a bad episode of one of my kids' cartoons we watch.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. I thought it was a bad episode of Full House. But they all come together and become friends at the end. They might as well have sung Kumbaya. It would have been a better movie. Absolutely terrible. What are we moving on to next, Bob?
From The Man Who Hates Everything.
Oh, here we go. The Man That Hates Everything. Did you hear this, Kevin?
What is it?
He says I hate everything. We're going to do Jigsaw next.
Okay, let's do Jigsaw next.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Jigsaw's, it's apparently the final movie. It stars Matt Passmore, Tobin Bell coming back as Jigsaw. Then there's...
No, wait, hold on. Oh. This is a sequel to Saw?
Yes.
Actually, no. It's not really a sequel. It's a prequel. Because Jigsaw, Tobin Bell's character is dead. They're going back, because the Matt Passmore character, Logan, he's talking, at the end, he talks about...
So like, you just spoiled the ending. Good work.
What do you think the show is?
I don't care. Go ahead. It's Jigsaw.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so Matt Passmore's character was talking to the, whoever at the end, and he was saying, this is how we did it, because Jigsaw showed me what to do, and, like, he saved them from the original.
So, how can it be a prequel? Crap. Wasn't Jigsaw in the original?
He was in the original.
So, how, isn't this a sequel?
It's a sequel prequel. After the first one, yes. I don't know which one he died in, but after that, whichever one he died in, this character here supposedly got saved and comes back, and he devises the traps for everyone.
I understood the movie.
Because you're finding, so all these people that are showing getting killed,
yes.
This happened in the past, apparently, because they show the two dead bodies at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're dead. He's explaining what's going on. You missed that, didn't you?
He did explain what's going on.
But this is not happening now.
He says you're the final two players in the game.
Right. And they show the dead bodies of the final two players. The girl, who is Laura Vandervoort, apparently.
Yes.
She's dead. Because they show they show her character and the other guy.
Who cared? This movie is terrible.
Okay. Sorry. Well, why do you ask me then?
I asked what you thought of it, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible, terrible horror movie. If me and Bob are arguing over what happened at the end, obviously it's confusing.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm explaining it.
I mean, the kills don't even look real to me. It's
really?
Go ahead.
The guy's getting dropped into, like, a cylinder with saws in it, head first.
It wasn't interesting. I mean, the first Saw movie is amazing.
Okay.
Great story. Great. I like the twist ending.
This is the eighth one.
Right. This is number eight.
Yes.
Think about it. Like, this is a money grab.
All right.
I mean, it's not interesting horror.
I actually enjoyed it more than the first one.
Oh, my God. How?
Because it sort of like, I don't know, because it was going back and forth. For some reason, I
can't give you that one. The first one is amazing.
All right.
The first one had nice twists in it. Where was the twist in it? The end?
Yeah.
So you're saying it's better than the... So we're going to rewatch that one.
The first. I'm not saying it's better than the first.
You just did. Did you not hear that, Kevin?
Okay.
What's that?
Never mind.
Okay.
Did you hear what?
Bob said this is better than the first Saw movie, which I think is great. It's got super nice twists.
2 through 7.
Well, then we're going to sit down and watch 2 through 7.
I'm not interested in any of the Saw movies.
You're not missing anything. But do you watch horror, Kevin? Like, you've seen Exorcist.
I'll watch some horror, but I don't like what I call torture porn.
Well, I don't watch Hostel. That's just one of my rules.
Hostel or Saw.
Yeah,
anything where it involves people disfiguring or maiming themselves.
I like slasher films. I love slasher films.
I'm not a big. I have kind of a thing about maiming and
I'm
stuff
with you.
Like that. So, I don't mind a horror movie, which is over the top, like let's say The Babysitter.
Okay, I will
Netflix,
watch
Netflix, which you haven't seen, but I like Evil Dead.
Well, Evil Dead to me is just fun, comical.
Horror. Yeah, even the remake I didn't mind.
I liked the remake a lot.
And then I liked, Nightmare on Elm Street is fine, but I'm not a fan of Halloween or Friday the 13th.
Halloween's a great friend. I think Halloween's the best.
Yeah.
I've seen all the Halloween movies. I think it's the strongest of the slasher franchise. Everybody tells me Friday the 13th's better, but I haven't seen enough of them to give a definite answer.
I've seen three of them.
Okay, moving on. Foreigner, Bob. What did you think of The Foreigner?
Well, at first, I, So the, when I first started watching it, I was going, when is this going to pick up? When is it going to pick up? What? When is it, like, I was, when I was watching it, I thought, when is it going to pick up? And then it started slowly. But he's, Jackie Chan's character, I thought he would, like, I didn't picture him doing what he was able to do with the, like, everyday groceries. And he just made a, he made a bomb out of, like, two bottles, a string, and...
Book of matches.
Book of matches, and there was some liquid, I forget what it is, the laundry detergent, we'll say. And that's, like, I know it's not Jackie Chan actually doing that, but the thought of it, like, he, it, that's resourceful, shall we say. And he bombed Pierce Brosnan's bathroom in his office.
He did?
Yeah. And then he gets to the point where he knows where his house is in the country. And he starts, and because Pierce Brosnan is the head of he was the head of a terrorist organization, but he's got friends that are helping him, so, and they're trying to find another terrorist. So Jackie Chan wants the names of the people that killed his daughter. And
yes.
I just wrote another movie. But anyway, so he starts devising things to do to blow up people or kidnap. Put them under, he starts devising different things to do that. I thought it was really good. And by the end of it, I thought it picked up really nicely and it was good.
Okay, let me help you, Kevin.
You hated it.
This reminds me a lot of an 80s action movie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's basically Jackie Chan doing a bunch of stuff to piss off Pierce Brosnan. We find out in the end he's really a bad guy. In the sense that he's helping the IRA out, and some of his buddies are causing the problems with the bombing. Blah blah blah.
Well, he's now a diplomat, not a diplomat or something or other.
A minister.
A minister of something. Yes.
Did you see this movie twice?
Yeah.
Mm. So it should be stronger, I think, in the writing. I think the problem with the film, the writing doesn't do it for me. Like, it seems just a very basic plot. Basic things happen, and there's really no depth to the characters. Because every time Jackie Chan talks to somebody, he goes, give me the names! Okay, I got it. You know what I mean? Like 40 times. I mean, the action's okay. It's like an 80s action VOD film. It really is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked it didn't go directly to VOD and it got a theatrical release. I'm quite impressed.
Well, wasn't it the biggest movie in the world for a little while there? It was huge in China, as always.
Well, it's got 50,000 Chinese distributors at the beginning of the film. And Pierce Brosnan looks like he's walking through it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really inspire me to go see it, if that's what you're asking.
Well, you'll watch it on Netflix, won't you?
Yeah, when it shows up. I'll watch everything on Netflix.
Even Lego Ninjago?
That might be a stretch. But I might.
Okay. Well, did you see Return of Xander Cage on Netflix? With Diesel?
Triple X, Return of Xander Cage.
Cage, oh.
Yes. Oh. What do you think it was, Kane?
Who cares?
With, what's his name? What is that guy's name?
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel, yes. Wow, I did see that. Did you see it?
I did, of course.
What about Bob?
Bob, did you pass on this one?
I wouldn't know, but I didn't see it. Yeah.
Bob hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. Wow, this was a piece of crap, so don't bother.
No, come on. Ruby Rose, come on. They rip off Enter the Dragon in this scene.
So, let's see. Let's just do the history of the franchise here, right? Triple X was, he's Xander Cage. He's like a environmental super sports guy, right?
Yes, I'm with you.
And so, he fights against Russian mobsters who have some kind of super drug or virus or something. I can't remember in the first one. Anyway, at the end of it, it sets it up like a modern James Bond. And then he doesn't come back for the second one. It's Ice Cube. Ice Cube comes in as the second one. So this is supposed to be exciting because it's the return of Xander Cage, the hero of the first movie who disappeared. Didn't sign a contract to do the second. And he fights against Donnie Yen And Deepika Padukone, is Deepika the villain from Baywatch, or is that a different character?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Anyway, so they're like, I don't even remember what they have. They have some kind of MacGuffin device that can identify the undercover agents or something like that.
Yes.
So it's basically Mission Impossible, the first one. And so they have this device, and they stole it from somebody, and Sam Jackson gets murdered right at the beginning, and Toni Collette replaces him, and what are you writing?
Notes. Go ahead. Keep going.
Kev's dragging on.
No, no, you're doing good. Doing good.
Anyway, so Xander puts together a team. And goes to take out these villains, but you know, along the way there's partying and car racing.
Come on, didn't you love all the women?
Sure. I don't know. And then out of nowhere, they're fighting at a plane, and I don't remember that. It's so bad. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ice Cube shows up.
He shows up at the end to help them out. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, saves the Ice Cube basically saves all of their asses.
Yes.
And then disappears again. Well, and then they drive off sort of like a Fast and the Furious kind of thing.
Yes.
Sam Jackson turns up alive, dressed as Nick Fury, in the movie theater where Xander Cage is.
I'm with you, buddy.
And it's just completely confusing, makes no sense, was not interesting. I mean, there's a reason why I can't stand Vin Diesel movies in general. This was one of them. I'm not a fan of Fast and the Furious. I don't know. It's got a 5 on IMDb. I'd say it's about a 3.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, this film is 3. I think I gave it a 1. It's unwatchable.
Yeah.
Like, why is Ruby Rose in this film? It just makes no sense.
And where have I seen Ruby Rose before? Oh, she was in... John Wick 2.
Yes. It's great. A terrible film, Kevin. It makes no sense. Yeah. Ever. The cutscenes are brutal. The action scenes make no sense. Like, pretty much unbelievable action. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, we're going to do this, and then we're going to go do that, and then we're going to do this. It's just pointless.
Right.
I have to totally disagree. This is just a... Why is this franchise even still going? Because he says, oh, you want me to make Fast and Furious 10? Okay, you got to make this too.
And it was weird to see the Hound shaven and acting in this film from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Rory McCann.
He was fine. I like the Hound.
I like the Hound, but I was surprised to see him in this movie.
I just think Vin Diesel's got to be one of the worst actors ever.
Well, I think calling him an actor is a stretch.
Well, I just don't get it. Like, how did he get the Groot job? I am Groot? They gave him a job?
He just got lucky. They wanted someone with a thick, gravelly voice.
I could have had Bob. Bob would have done a good job.
Oh, right.
I know. Moving along.
I was going to do a Bob impression, but I can't really do a Bob impression. So
I don't have one either. Bob, do I do your impression of yourself? You want to do my impression? No. Bob's having a Bob moment.
So, I'm Groot. And I went to the movie theater, and I went in, and I got a seat, and I'm Groot.
There you go.
And there you go. No, that's not a very good Bob.
Okay. Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets?
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, directed by Luc Besson, based on the French graphic novels. Who saw this one? Me?
Me and you, buddy.
Okay, so Valerian is a series of French graphic novels, very popular. Mostly out in the 70s and 80s, I think, although there have been a couple since in the 90s and so forth. So this is sort of based on that. And Valerian in this movie is played by Dane DeHaan, who you might remember from Chronicle and Amazing Spider-Man 2. And his girl Friday, Sergeant Lurleen, is played by Cara Delevingne, most recently famous for having... identified Harvey Weinstein as sexually a predator.
Carly Delevingne did?
Yeah, she's one of the girls that said yeah. He tried to have something with her too.
I had no idea. Well, yeah. He seems to try everything, so.
Clive Owen is in this. Rihanna, Ethan Hawke, Herbie Hancock, Chris Wu, and so forth. Rutger Hauer.
I was supposed to say, you forgot Rutger Hauer. Not that it really matters.
So here's the synopsis. In the century, whatever this is, 28, the space station Alpha is a city where beings from different planets live together, exchanging knowledge and culture. And Alpha was born from the space station that was launched in the 2000s and has since just expanded and grown to encompass alien ships and so forth. And it was too big, so they launched it into the Magellan Belt, and where it's become a, sort of a living city floating in space. So anyway, the human force is sent to investigate a problem there. So Valerian and Laureline. They're to retrieve the last species of converter in a dangerous mission. So a converter is something that eats energy and it craps out energy. They succeed in finding it and they go back to Alpha. Anyway, whatever. They capture the commander played by Colin Firth and they go to a secret area of the ship and find a secret anyway, it's very confusing. I wouldn't say it's the greatest movie. It has some nice effects, but...
Hold on.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It has beautiful effects.
It does have great effects, but I thought it was almost... To me, this was almost like watching Akira. And Akira just has so much going on visually in every shot that your eye gets bored with it. Like you just can't focus on all of these happening at one. All these things happen at the same time, and so your eyes, you just end up getting tired.
Okay,
you get bored of it.
I like the fight scene. The fight scene when he goes through the floors to different worlds.
Yeah,
I like that. I like the guy that could go into a different world and pull out machine guns and things and pretend he's machine gunning.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool. I think the problem is the leads are just terrible.
Well, they have no personality.
Like, Dave DeHaan is awful. I've come to the point I just don't care.
I didn't mind him as much, but I didn't. I did think that, like, he wasn't Valerian in my mind. Because having read a few of the Valerian graphic novels now in preparation for it, he just didn't strike me as that.
Well, he seems very boring as an actor. Like, he seems to have no range, I guess. Same with Carla Delevingne. She just seems kind of eh.
You know, like if he was 20 years younger, Colin Firth would have been a good Valerian.
Absolutely agree with you. He can act.
I mean, Akira Delevingne is very, she's very pretty. She's okay in this movie.
But she's, again, she's always just okay.
But there's supposed to be this great chemistry. These are this great love between the two of them.
There's nothing.
Unspoken and whatever else, but it's no, you're right.
When he keeps trying to get her into bed, and I'm like, oh, I just don't care. I just wanted this thing to end. See, I just could
already bored Bob.
Bob's having a nap after not even watching Valerian. He'll probably like it. He'll probably give it a 7.
But you know what?
I hope he does enjoy it.
I really like Fifth Element, and to me, I was excited because this is essentially the same type of French science fiction comic book type of adaptation as Fifth Element was.
But I love Fifth Element. Fifth Element I enjoyed.
This one, it's too bad. I mean, it would be nice to see more Valerian to see if they could redeem themselves, but I guess I just didn't like the story. I thought it was kind of with the alien race, and it was just too weird and, I don't know, not very good.
Let's go to the Rihanna scene. I like the Rihanna scene.
Yeah, her number was good. It was entertaining.
She can sing, though. I mean, she's not like she's acting in that scene. She's just, you know,
it's singing. A music video.
Yeah, and it worked for me because that's what she's good at.
Right, when she's changing her shape and stuff like that. Now, as the shapeshifter, and then we see her original form and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I didn't like the character very much.
I don't think any of these characters are likable.
No. And then the big, dumb alien barbarians that want to eat somebody.
Yeah.
I guess they want to eat Laureline or something.
Who cares? It's terrible. Yeah. This movie's awful. Just look at
it's worth a watch, but I wouldn't say it's the greatest.
I agree. Entering, ready to open the vault? You keeping it up?
Yeah, I'm sort of bored looking at a Chucky doll in the corner.
Ew! No, it's the vault.
Ooh, that was loud.
Well, you complained that I wasn't very well heard.
Okay, well, Child's Play is starring Catherine Hicks, Chris Sheridan, Alex Vincent, Brad Dourif, and Dina Madoff.
Madoff? Yeah.
What did you think of... I've watched this
movie. You know why
years.
I watched this movie? Because Cult of Chucky is coming.
I saw it.
Right?
And did you see it?
No, I
did.
It. I saw the actress, which is Brad Dourif's daughter. She was in the movie. Brad Dourif was nowhere to be found that day, but he's still the voice of the doll. Now, so I went and watched, for some reason, I went and watched the first one, which is about the Brad Dourif character getting killed, but he sends an incantation, gets his mind in, his soul into the doll, and I'm into a Chucky doll. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, really? Because I go, like, it's a thunderstorm, and he says the incantation, and he puts his soul into the doll, and the doll becomes, like, him. So I'm like, yeah.
I think this is a great film.
Really?
I think it's a strong film. It stands on itself. I like the whole suspense. You're waiting for the doll to go, waiting for Chucky to come off, waiting and waiting and waiting. I thought the origin story worked well at the end. I like how nobody believed the little boy that has been, and how Chucky went around and killed everybody.
Well,
it
the fact that they didn't believe the kid was interesting, but... Like, usually for me, and this is a switch, because it's usually you and me switching, because I'm saying to you, it's a suspension of disbelief. In my case, that was the problem. I couldn't believe the Brad Dourif character's soul went into the doll. And you'd be saying, well, yeah, and I'm going, no. I just couldn't put my head around the fact that he's in the doll.
I guess I don't want to express this. I'm just saying that we got to have a suspension of disbelief in all films.
Right. That's what I tell you.
I mean, we're going into a film. We're seeing this is the world we're in.
Yeah.
This is the confines that they've given us. Right. And I think this film works. They're saying, okay, voodoo does exist in this world. This doll is taken care of. The soul has gone into him. He's a serial killer, so we're waiting for to kill people. And nobody's going to leave a little boy because nobody believes little boys or little girls.
Actually, I guess you're right because it was either Weekend at Bernie's 1 or Weekend at Bernie's 2 that the voodoo happened and they were able to reanimate Bernie.
Two.
So they used voodoo to do that. So
there you go.
I guess what you're saying is suspension of disbelief. It's just that it was too much. I had to sit there and go, sorry, I can't believe this.
Kevin. When you watch a film, how do you look at the film? Do you look at it, this is the world, this is the confines they have, right?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, don't we have to look at that? I mean, obviously every film is different, I get that, but we're going to look at it. I mean, these characters technically, if we take it the way I am, exist forever.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have, if they have a part two, we're just getting a different adventure of these characters.
Right.
The problem I find with the Chucky films, which I would love to be discussing Chucky Cult, that they kind of screw the world up when they get to Chucky, because they're running out of ideas.
Yes.
And I'll wait till you see it before I ruin it, but I really had an issue with them screwing with the confines that they've introduced to me for the last six films.
Okay.
I mean, it's like going to the Star Wars universe, right? Mm-hmm. If Vader suddenly, like, I have a lot of issues still with Force Ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kevin does. Right. I mean, I feel like when a character is dead, they should be dead.
Right.
Now they come back as a ghost and Luke's dad's all good. I think that's a load of crap.
I don't know. That doesn't bother me with Star Wars. It establishes those characters who are so attuned with the Force, their spirit can enter and it continues. It's almost like a way to continue life after death. But, I mean, in a way, they'll eventually fade away. They will.
Will they?
I mean, I'm assuming they do.
But have we ever seen that?
Because they stop, like, Obi-Wan only interacts with Luke on a couple of occasions. It's not like, otherwise he'd be hanging around with him the whole time.
Well, that's why I'm confused. So they can only stay for so long.
You know, like, maybe in The Last Jedi, we see a scene where Luke is sitting around having lunch and sitting at the tables, Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Yoda. But I kind of doubt it.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Well, have we seen Yoda's Force Ghost?
No, but we've heard him.
We've heard him, but we haven't seen him.
Yoda? Right, they did show up in both Ben and Yoda showed up in Force Awakens.
They did, I agree.
In Rey's connection with the lightsaber.
Oh.
So she has connected with the living force, and they have spoken to her from there, saying that these are her first steps.
But could they just exist like a recording in the saber, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's my argument. When we get,
I think that the connection was that the lightsaber was a family heirloom, and by connecting with it, she has connected with the history. I mean, I can't really see the object being infused with the Force, but maybe something about the pain of Luke losing his hand has infused something to it, a memory. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Okay, before we get to our TV section today, we have one last film.
Sorry.
Bob made me watch this the other day, and it's called Head Over Heels.
A typical Bob movie.
Starring Monica Potter, Freddie Prinze Jr., Shalom Harlow.
Ivana Milosevic.
And nobody else I care about. China Chow?
The blonde Australian girl was funny.
Okay, let's get into this. This is something Kevin would probably find on Netflix and make me watch to torture me. So
Bob instead tortured you.
Bob found this on my shelf, Kevin, one of those four packs. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, let's watch this. I'm like, okay. I remember seeing that when I used to watch trailers, I don't know, now 15 years ago, I remember seeing the trailer for this going, that looks horrible.
I own the thing.
Bob owns. You own it. Why did we watch it then?
I wanted you to watch it.
Oh, I've watched it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Monica Potter is fine. I think the problem with the film is it's a TV plot. Like, it should be a 22-minute comedy opposed to an hour-and-a-half film that's unfunny.
Right.
Now it's unfunny. 15 years, when it was first on, it was probably funnier.
I don't think so. I think it was just crappy then, too.
No, in your opinion.
I agree in my opinion.
So is this a...
No.
It's live action.
Okay, let's tell you the problem. Monica Potter...
is a historical painting restorer, and she's, like, she said, like, at the beginning of the film, it's fluff because she says, like, all men are, like, all men are basically garbage because, like, they screw over women. And it says about New York's, there's 50% of the population is screwing the other population, not literally, figuratively, population. And so she says, I like when they did the classics, like your knees buckled. And she says, that'll never happen with me. Because her knees, and actually her knees buckled with the painting because she saw this painting she liked. And she says, and then her friend says, that wouldn't, have you ever done that with a guy? Like, did your knees buckle with the guy? She says, no. And it says, I like it when it happens like in paintings and classical things. And then she meets Freddie Prinze Jr. And she says, and his dog, which is like this gigantic thing of a dog. And,
it's a Great Dane.
Yeah, it's a Great Dane. Thank you. And she looks at Freddie Prinze and she says, you should control your dog. And then when she looks up, her knees buckle. So Freddie Prinze Jr. causes her knees to buckle. And he's not actually what he pretends to be. He's actually a CIA agent.
Well, there goes another pot spoiler.
Well, okay, you spoil it then.
No, I don't care.
I know you do. So they're being chased by this Russian mobster who claims to be an art connoisseur, but he's not in real life.
Is this Timothy Oliphant?
Sure. Before that happens, she's actually gets an apartment, which is actually a closet, with these four girls who are all models, and
that's where the hijinks occur,
right?
Which there are no hijinks though.
Okay, and then I think I pretty well explained that one. Anyway,
Kevin.
You hated it.
The hijinks are supposed to occur with the models, right? Oh. Monica Potter is like this boring lady, so she's hanging out with these models. And there's supposed to be some jokes. I never saw one of them. There was not one joke ever that I thought was funny. Other than the great Joan knocking over Monica Potter. And, of course, she finds out he's really an FBI agent, and he didn't tell her. And she's upset. So there's your crisis, right? Because he's in a... trying to stop this Russian guy from smuggling. He can't figure out how he's getting the money in. You know what I mean? And then the film ends up and they're together. I'm like, this is painful. Like, I'm going to recommend this to my daughter. She'll love it.
Well,
it's like a 10-year-old's movie. It's perfect. Yeah. There's no drama. There's no real kissing. No nothing. It's very plain, very basic.
All right, good times.
I mean, the models are all beautiful. Sure they are. But none of them can act. I mean,
well,
Freddie Prinze
Jr. I passed on this one.
Freddie
Prinze Jr. No idea was even supposed to be watched.
I don't think this should ever be watched. Bob liked it, and that's great. I'm glad he did. I wish I could find enjoyment in this film, other than staring at Martin Parker going, she's really attractive.
Uh-huh.
So something else Bob didn't watch, Stranger Things 2, Kevin, let's go.
Well, we don't really have a lot of time to talk about it. Do you want to discuss it
we
now?
We have 14 minutes.
Oh, okay. I saw Stranger Things. Who saw Stranger Things 2 here? You?
I did, yes. I watched it with my daughter.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Stranger Things 2 quite a bit. I think season 1 was 8 episodes and season 2 is 9 episodes.
Correct.
Season 2 could have been 8 episodes. They could have trimmed down and not done episode 7.
Is that the Chicago episode?
Yeah, that just completely feels out of place.
It does, but I think it gives us a good background for 11.
It does. It's necessary to see what 11 goes through, what her changes are. But couldn't we have done 5 minutes in this episode, 5 minutes in that episode?
Yeah.
It seems like she went and had this long adventure while the rest of them were still having the same story. It's like she had like a 2-week holiday in the middle of the movie or in the middle of the series.
Yeah, but I mean, then why did we have the intro we did? Because if we don't go back to them, we don't know why they're there at the beginning.
Well, who's where? Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because the opening shot of Stranger Things 2 is this new group.
No, the new group was useless. It was nothing. It was just to show that there were other subjects in the program that created number 11.
Right, which I don't think we needed to know about. I agree with you on that one, but I didn't hate the episode.
I thought it was average. It seemed completely out of place from all the other stuff. There was no... challenge. It was just watching 11 deal with. It was like her superhero episode. Number 11 has met other superheroes now, and so she's decided that she's better off being a superhero in her own backyard than trying to join the Justice League.
Do you have a favorite scene?
To me, in the whole series, it's episode 6 was my favorite episode. It's funny. My favorite moments of the series are. Where the two teenagers are at the apartment of the conspiracy theory journalist.
Oh, I absolutely love those scenes.
Yeah, that whole sequence was so funny, and he sort of puts them together, puts them on a path where they end up spending the night together. I thought that was just a great. It was like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That great scene where Indy and then Kate Capshaw are. You know, they're not sure who should make the move, and they're saying, oh, he said this, and oh, she said this, and they're running to the doors and back and forth, and then eventually they open the door and then they kiss and presume something happens. But I think in Indiana Jones they go through a wall with spiders.
What did you think of the prom scene?
I love the snowball.
That was one of my favorite whole parts. The snowball.
It was basically the whole series was to get us to the snowball, which I loved.
And I agree with you. I thought the snowball was perfect.
Dustin and his flock of seagulls hairdo.
Yes, I loved it.
And trying to hey ladies, and then they're turning him down, and then the one buddy's sister comes and dances with him.
It worked for me. I love that scene. I love Hopper. Hopper's still my favorite, besides the kid with the curly hair, Dustin. Dustin and mm-hmm. Hopper, my favorite. I'm getting a little bored of Winona Ryder's manic mother's getting a little bit on my nerves now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, can we kill her off? I knew Bob was going to bite the big one. I don't care if people haven't seen it. Too bad for them.
I liked Paul Reiser in this.
I thought he was really good. I liked the whole sandwich scene.
Yeah, I like that he was defining, or he was defying the, I mean, who was the character in the first one? Who was the actor? Who was father?
I don't remember. Oh, Matthew Modine?
Yeah, Matthew Modine was so very quiet and subdued and kind of this mysterious figure. Paul Reiser's the opposite. He's just kind of jokey. He's accessible. You like him. Unfortunately, the sad story of Samwise Gamgee, the Hobbit.
I even told my daughter before he went, he was going. She's like, no. Nice, I'm like, he's going. It's just the way it worked. It was pretty evident he was gone.
Some nice Goonies jokes in there.
Oh, for sure there was.
What's at the X, Pirate Treasure?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Sadie Sink did a great job as Max.
Mm-hmm.
I quite liked her added to the cast. I thought she could act.
Oh, yeah, that kid was great.
I thought she was really good. I didn't really enjoy her brother in any way. I just thought he was very stereotypical, atypical character.
He was like your typical 80s villain.
Yes.
But then the whole MILF sequence, too, at the end where he...
That was funny.
Whose mother was that?
I'll tell you in a second. It's, Karen's mother.
Okay.
No, it's not. No, Nancy's mother. Sorry, Nancy Wheeler. It's Nancy's mother. Because she asked, "Are you here to see my daughter Nancy?" And the dad's just always asleep. Or doesn't want to answer. I think it's pretty funny. No, I mean, I think this series is working. I mean, are they doing 3 seasons or 5 seasons? I still can't figure it out.
I don't know. As many as they want to, and they're still interested. Although I think there's some new developments behind the scene that... I just think that Millie Bobby Brown is starting to head into being a big star.
Yep.
And you can start to see she's got her own representation as opposed to the boys. So you can sort of see that they're segregated, which is kind of cool, too. It works for them because she's such an outside influence, kind of this exotic stranger. But I think on an individual basis with the cast bonding, that's going to put them off and that she's going to be the star of this show and leave the rest of them behind.
Okay. Bob, you want to discuss DC Comics New 52 Rebirth? I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, it was just like they had originally, it was the New 52, right? And all of a sudden it goes Rebirth, but is that like a continuation from New 52 or is it a reboot altogether? Because now Superman has a son.
All right. So are you sure you want this?
Sure.
I'm going to give you a lecture, okay?
It's okay.
So we had the DC universe that was established after Crisis.
Right.
Okay, and then it started to fragment a bit, and there was the Infinite Crisis.
Right.
Where some characters who survived Crisis came back into the DC universe and kind of changed time a bit. Things were altered. And then there was the final Crisis where Darkseid invaded and the world was changed. Anyway, they defeat him and things go back to normal. Just shortly after that, the Flash decides to go back in time and save his mother. Now, if you watch the Flash TV show, you see that happen quite a lot. It's always the last episode of every season.
Right.
So, it turns out his mother was killed by the Reverse Flash, as we've seen on the TV show.
Right.
But by going back and saving her, he creates, and they sort of highlighted this on the TV show again last year, the Flashpoint universe. And the Flashpoint universe in DC Comics was a world that was fractured and being destroyed because the Atlanteans and the Amazons were at war.
Right.
And so a lot of characters didn't exist. Like Superman was captured as a baby.
Yeah.
And was never really released. He's released in the Flashpoint series. And Batman, Bruce Wayne, is killed. And so Thomas Wayne is the Batman.
Right.
And he owns a casino.
Right.
And so he carries a gun and he's kind of bitter and so forth. Anyway, so the Flash ends up in that universe, figures out something's wrong. He ends up getting his powers back, going on the time treadmill to fix it. And in the process, he merges in two alternate universes back into the DC universe. He brings in the Wildstorm universe, and he brings in the Vertigo universe, where like Sandman and Swamp Thing are, and John Constantine. So that all of these things are formed, and there's a new universe that's formed, and it's like it's almost like brand new.
Okay.
And it's it's been 5 years since the Justice League formed. And Jim Lee and goes back and tells us, Geoff Johns tells the story of how the Justice League were formed in this universe. And that story is somewhat like the Justice League movie that maybe you should have watched, Simon. And then...
I'm going to watch it soon.
All right. And then along the way, there was a few things started happening where... Superman dies. Essentially, the new 52 Superman has died. But just before that, there's an event, and Superman, the Superman from the previous continuity, who was married to Lois Lane, he escapes from, I think it was the Convergence event.
Yeah.
And he ends up on the new 52 Earth. And so he and Lois have been living in secret. She's been writing books, and he's been writing articles and things like that. But they've been secretly trying to protect the world of the new 52 because Superman has started to see some of the threats that he faced on his old Earth starting to show up on this one. So in secret, he wears like a black costume. He goes around and tries to stop things from happening. So in Rebirth... There was a one-shot, the 52 ends, Rebirth shows up, and everything is relaunched.
Okay.
And essentially, we learn that time has been messed with. So the Kid Flash from before Flashpoint shows up to tell us that time is messed up. He went into the time stream, and he's come out, and nothing is the way it should be. And so... they've determined that some outside force has altered time and shrunk the 15 or 20 years of DCU into 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
Right? So it's a much shorter duration. So like Batman went through like 4 Robins in 5 years and stuff like that. So it's almost like his entire history was truncated and sped up.
Okay.
And so Superman, because the old New 52 Superman died, the original Superman comes back and assumes the role because the world needs a Superman.
Right.
And along the way, they've since subsequently merged that Superman into this timeline. So now he is the New 52 Superman as well as the old Superman. It's very bizarre. But the timeline has been changing around them as more things are thrown off by the presence of the original Superman.
Okay.
Right, so it turns out that the whole person behind it all was Dr. Manhattan.
Oh my gosh.
From The Watchmen.
Yeah.
So, and then something is about to start actually tomorrow at midnight, although it's probably a Wednesday at shops, but there's a book called The Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
And The Doomsday Clock is the story of Superman, of the DC universes interacting with the Watchmen characters. So it's basically what happened on Watchmen's Earth after Dr. Manhattan left and Rorschach was killed and stuff. So what happened in that world? And why did Dr. Manhattan go to the DC Universe when he went exploring? And what has he changed along the way? And why did he mess with time? And so it's leading to this big crossover where they're going to end up meeting and a bunch of stuff will be... dealt with.
Wow, right? We kicked it like, so, we done.
I was having a nap. Sorry. Are we kicking it old school like we first started when we discussed comics? Wow.
I guess so, yeah.
Because
so
I started buying comics again.
Well, and if anybody could really understand what I was saying, good luck. Kudos to you. I understood.
I just don't care.
Right.
I'm very honest.
The rebirth stuff has been, New 52 turned off a lot of people. You're shaking your heads. You don't want to talk about this.
I just don't care.
But Rebirth has actually been decent reading and has brought a lot of people back, which is good because Marvel's books are suffering a little bit. So, okay.
Well, if Bendis left Marvel, there's no reason for me to stay at Marvel anymore.
Well, Brian Michael Bendis just left Marvel. He's going to DC to write. And then Marvel has retired their current editor-in-chief, Axel Alonso, and they brought back a guy named C.B. Sobolski.
Oh, my God, really?
And so CB is now editor-in-chief. He's the former talent acquisition guy.
Yeah, I know.
And he has been in Asia for the last few years working on the development of Marvel properties in other markets, and for like the Asian markets and so forth.
Okay.
So.
Did you buy anything, Kevin? Bob?
I bought Valerian. Next time.
I can't remember.
I think that's about it.
Why did you buy? I didn't hear you.
Valerian.
Oh, yeah. What did you do? I bought nothing. Oh, I have too much to watch.
I did buy Atomic Blonde, but I think we
did. I love it. Atomic Blonde was fun. Okay. Until Simon watches Justice League, I'm Simon.
I'm Kevin, who has watched Justice League.
I'm Bob, who has also watched Justice League.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was busy. And if they make it, Simon should go out and watch Justice League.
I'm eager to hear your review of it because I think it's going to be – it's a controversial film.
Well, 2 weeks.
Some people have hated it. Some people liked it.
2 weeks.
Okay, I don't understand. Since when does $96 million a bad thing?
There you go.
Well, when it costs $300 million to make
– yeah.
And $150 million to promote it, you have to make $500 million to make your money back.
All right.
So so when it made 94, in fact, and the number was wrong. It said 96 initially. It's 94.
Okay.
So worldwide, it's made $250 million. Right. So it's halfway there to making its money back.
Okay.
The problem is that it may not make that money back by the time it pulls out of theaters.
Okay.
Wasn't it still getting beat by Thor this week?
Probably.
No, Thor was number three and only made 20-something million.
And apparently there was cut scenes and reshoots and everything else.
Well, we can discuss that when Simon sees the film.
2 weeks. I'm so sorry. I got busy.
Because it really has polarized.
And we're going to have Coco on the next show, too, because I'm going to see Coco.
I have to see Coco.
I have to take my kids.
To see Star and Wonder and what was the other one?
Wonder Open Friday. Okay, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Good night, both of you.
Goodbye.
He's gone. I'm gone. And Bob's gone.
I'm gone, and I've still seen one of Justice League.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.